You are listening to the Locked On Yankees podcast, which is part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Stacey Gottsoulias, and I'm the host of Locked On Yankees. I'm a baseball writer turned podcast host, and you may have read my work at places like Baseball Prospectus, the Hardball Times, FanRag Sports, and the ESPN Sweet Spot blog. You can find us on Twitter at Locked On Yankees, all one word. You can find me on Twitter at Stace Gotts. We also have an Instagram account at Locked On Yankees, all one word. So please leave comments on all three of those accounts. Just try to be nice. If you're a new listener, hello and welcome. If you're a returning listener, welcome back. I hope you all enjoy today's episode. It is another crossover extravaganza. This time, I'm joined by Ethan Smith of Locked On Pirates. We talk about Jameson Taillon. We talk about the differences in rooting for a team like the Pirates, whose payroll is about $30 million, and what it's like for us rooting for the Yankees. But first, you can get Locked On Yankees, Locked On Pirates, and all other Locked On podcasts straight to your phone in Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Himalaya, Spotify, Stitcher, or anywhere else you get your podcasts. And when you get into your car, you can tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Yankees. Ethan and I jump right into the conversation, so enjoy.
Honestly, Stacey, I'm really surprised I wasn't a part of that trade. Getting traded to Locked On Yankees is like a, like, you know, like an asset. I'm like really surprised here. I'm surprised Charrington hasn't given me the call and said, hey man, we're trading you to the Minnesota Twins. We're trading you to Locked On Twins.
I thought it was an interesting move with free agency. The Yankees had Gerrit Cole and basically, you know, like Domingo Germán, if he comes back from the domestic violence suspension, which they're planning on him doing that. Luis Severino's coming back from Tommy John. You have the kids that we're not sure of. You know, we got to look at Davey Garcia. We also got to look at Michael King and Clark Schmidt, but they were very small tastes of what was to come, so we have no idea. And it was just interesting for the Yankees to make the move for Taillon after they made the move to sign Corey Kluber, because both pitchers haven't pitched a lot recently. And I joked on Twitter yesterday that the Yankees, with their injury history, the last especially two seasons, it's sort of amusing to me, but also frightening to me that they would go after two guys who haven't pitched a lot recently. They're taking a big risk. I mean, it's also, they're also high reward moves. If Taillon is healthy and he helps the rotation, I'm really hoping he is. I like his connection with Gerrit Cole. That always, you know, when you have a friend on the team, it's probably better for your psyche, especially when you're going to a new place like New York. But I'm sitting here literally with my fingers crossed. I'm hoping that things work out with Taillon, that he stays relatively healthy in 2021.
So the friend thing with Gerrit Cole, and I'm pretty sure this is fine now, because like whenever they were together, there was like rumors, but I never believed them, that they didn't really like each other. Because I mean, you can't really say that when you literally, every time the Pirates were warming up, even if Taillon or Cole weren't scheduled to pitch, they were always talking to each other. Like, it was like this thing where every picture you saw, if you saw Jameson Taillon, you saw Gerrit Cole. And now, I mean, this is just a double dose for me as a Pirates fan, because last year I had to watch two former Pirates in the World Series pitch for the same team, and Charlie Morton and Tyler Glasnow. And now I get to see Gerrit Cole and Jameson Taillon pitch in New York. And somebody tweeted about what the Pittsburgh Pirates potential rotation could be if we just didn't move on from any of these guys. We would have Gerrit Cole, Jameson Taillon, Tyler Glasnow, Joe Musgrove, and a fifth pitcher.
Wow.
That's wild. And since 2017, we've traded Andrew McCutchen, Gerrit Cole, let go of Francisco Liriano, let go of Francisco Cervelli when he was still playing well, Starlin Marte, Corey Dickerson, and then all the trades that we've had in the last like month and a half. So it's very interesting as a Pirates fan over here for all of you Locked On Yankees listeners to see just pretty much any player I really know leave. And it's, I mean, I, of course, am going to still root for them. I will go on record as not being the biggest Yankees fan on the planet. I will say that. But if it means that Taillon and Cole are going to do well, I would like to see former Pirates do well. Like the same thing with Barry Bonds. I rooted for Barry Bonds when he went to the Giants. I obviously wasn't old enough yet to really understand that he was a Pittsburgh Pirate at one time. But when I found out he was, I started rooting for him. So realistically, the trade for us, if you know anything more about the prospects that we got, I would love to hear it because I know like some things, but I don't know everything.
Right. I noted that because I will admit this, I am not really big on prospects. I was when I was younger. I was friends with a bunch of guys who were really into the minor leagues and prospects and knowing all about that. And I was in a message board with them. That's how long ago this was. And I knew a lot about prospects, you know, 15 years ago when Phil Hughes was coming up, like guys like that. After watching a lot of these big time prospects not pan out, I've kind of gone the way of, why am I even paying attention to this? Because most of the time, these guys don't even amount to anything. And what they were saying was that the guys that you acquired aren't the type that people were really hyped up about, but you never know with prospects because, you know, the guy could be drafted in the 800th round and then become someone like Mike Piazza, and someone who could be hyped as your number one prospect can never pan out. I saw some notes from Jim Callis about the guys. He wasn't very high on them, but again, it's going to take time for them to even make it up to the big leagues. And, you know, I don't think it's a bad get for you guys. You're filling up your minor league system, which is good. I mean, other teams are draining their minor league systems and they're not going to have any people to like go down and get. At least you have that. Let's see. You got two pitchers, right? Two pitchers, two hitters. And Contreras seems to be the best one out of all of them. You know, he throws pretty hard. And the rest of the guys, they're like a wait and see sort of thing. But I mean, you could really say that about any prospect.
Yeah. And I mean, from what I've been hearing too, and what I've been reading and what I'm kind of predicting is the guy that's going to be there immediately is going to be Miguel Ujiri. He's going to be there immediately, I think, because he got time with you guys last year because of all the injuries. Looked pretty damn impressive, if I could say so myself, after watching his games. And realistically, you look at our pitching rotation now that we've traded Musgrove and Taillon. We have Mitch Keller, Chad Kuhl, Steven Brault, JT Brubaker, and whoever the hell we decide to throw at number five. Realistically, if we don't make a free agent signing, which Charrington did go on record saying that we might get more than one, including bringing back Chris Archer on a cheaper deal, but if he decides to go the other route and not get anybody, who's to say Ujiri isn't the fifth or fourth pitcher in that rotation? And I mean, like, he's still really young, too. Like, and if he could get those kind of reps already and maybe impress, you could be talking about having another star pitcher on your hands, especially when you have the number one overall pick. And you could be talking about a Quinn Priester, who's our top pitching prospect in the minors at the moment, Miguel Ujiri, Mitch Keller, and even Kumar Rocker if we decide to get him number one overall in April or May. It's going to be a very interesting thing because right now, you know, they do most of the prospect rankings on 30. Like, they'll do top 30. Mm-hmm. 16 of the 30 guys that are in our top 30 are Ben Charrington acquisitions, which is crazy.
Wow. That is crazy.
And it's like, and then those three trades with Taillon, Musgrove, and Bell, we got those 16 prospects from those trades. And sometimes it is quantity, but there is quality in there too. Like, you picked up guys, like you said, Contreras, who is probably going to end up being the best player in that deal. But even Kanan Smith, I've heard really good things about him as well.
Yes, yes. He has good power from what I've heard, which is always a good thing. You always want someone to hit the crap out of the ball. That's fun to watch. I don't really know more about them. I wish I did. I forgot about Miguel Ujiri because some of the season last year is a blur to me, and I don't even remember half the stuff that happened, even though it was only 60 games, which is kind of funny, because you would think in a 162-game season, there are times that you don't remember things that happened because it's so long.
Yeah.
And I think it's funny, you basically just told me how to say his name, because I usually mute the games when I watch them, because I don't like my broadcast team unless David Cohen's on the show, so...
There we go.
Half the time, I don't even know how to say these guys' names. I have to look it up on Baseball Reference. I didn't know how to say Tyone's name. And I know I've seen him pitch and I've seen him do things. And I don't know why I didn't know how to say his name. And I had to go to Baseball Reference to find out just to make sure. So that was pretty funny.
In a moment, my conversation with Ethan Smith of Locked On Pirates continues, but first, it's that time of day for me to gush about Built Bar, because Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar ever. It has 18 amazing flavors, including nut and non-nut flavors. They have 6 new ones. Of the 6 new ones, I've tried caramel brownie and cookies and cream, and they are pretty damn good. Out of the 12 original, mint brownie, whew, double chocolate, yes. Coconut almond, yes, yes. The bars are covered in 100% chocolate. They're soft and they're easy to chew. They're great for the health-conscious person. They're great if you want to lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. They're low-calorie, low-sugar, high-protein, high-fiber. They're great for the keto diet. And if you go to BuiltBar.com and use the promo code LOCKEDON, you'll get 20% off your next order. That means next. You don't have to be a new customer to get that 20% off. You could be like me and order a bunch of boxes beforehand and still get 20% off. Again, out of the original flavors, double chocolate. I was sleeping on that one, and I had it last week, and it is really good. Highly recommend. Again, go to BuiltBar.com, use the promo code LOCKEDON, and you'll get 20% off your next order. I don't own a car. Like a true New Yorker, I rely on public transportation. But if you have a car, you should go to RockAuto.com. Because RockAuto.com is a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The RockAuto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle, choose the brands, specifications, and prices you prefer. Best of all, prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low, and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to rockauto.com right now and see the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. We're covering everything you need to know about the Yankees, but what about the rest of sports? Now the Locked On Podcast Network has you covered there as well with Locked On Today. It's hosted by the great Peter Bukowski, and it's all the sports news you need every morning in under 20 minutes. Subscribe to the Locked On Today podcast wherever you get podcasts. And now, more of my conversation with Ethan Smith of Locked On Pirates.
Yeah, and then it gets even better from the side of things that you talked about this before we started recording about, like, what's it like to see guys go. And one guy that I've been saying should have been traded, like, probably before any of these trades was Adam Frazier, with all of the infield talent that we have right now, and Kevin Newman, Cole Tucker, Phillip Evans, Eric Gonzalez, and stuff like that, and even O'Neal Cruz coming back up after his stuff in the Dominican Republic. I really expected you guys, especially, like, to possibly look into Adam Frazier before you signed DJ LeMahieu, just because he'd be a much cheaper option. But I obviously, LeMahieu's a much better player. But we could even be losing a fourth player that Pirate fans are very, like, familiar with. And then I just did it on my podcast yesterday that you could see a guy like Colin Moran, who's a good DH option in the American League if they don't expand the DH, like Gregory Polanco, even Brian Reynolds, if they get the right deal for him. The Pirates team that we have right now, like, unlike your Yankees, the Pirates team that we have right now is going to look completely different in just, like, probably 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of wild to see the turnover. And I will say this, and this is to your lovely Yankees fans as well, be happy that you have a good owner. Like, just be happy that you have an owner that actually will put money into the team. Bob Nutting is a disgrace to baseball. I will, like, always say that. And most people don't even really know who Bob Nutting is because he doesn't deserve the credibility. And I mean, like, I know I'm kind of going on my little tangent here, but it's the fact that in 2015, you were one game away from basically winning your division. And you ran into the immovable object in Jake Arrieta that year. And for some reason, because you lost one wild card game after being competitive for 3 years, you said, you know what? We're just going to like get rid of these guys and blow it up instead of, okay, let's go ahead and maybe try to retool again and go back for it in 2016. They said, and we'll just trade McCutchen in 2017. It's a revolving door.
See, it's so funny that you said that about ownership, because Yankee fans are so spoiled that we go nuts when Hal, you know, he traded Adam Ottavino for salary relief. The Yankees traded Adam Ottavino to the Red Sox to free up salary that's probably going to go to Brett Gardner at this point.
Yeah.
And the fact that they're even doing that, I know that all the teams lost revenue last season because there weren't fans in the stands, you know, no concessions, no ticket sales, all that stuff. But the Yankees are worth so much money, and it's just a joke to me that it's actually a joke to me that any of these owners cry poor. There's no reason for any team in baseball not to spend money. Fans of every team whose owner doesn't want to spend money, you know, because they're all mostly billionaires or groups that are worth billions of dollars, you should be pissed when your owners don't want to put money in the team, because they should. Every team should put money into their, every ownership should put money into their team. And any team that doesn't do that and tries to save money and cut corners, you should be mad at. No matter how big the team is. Like right now, we're just so mad at Hal Steinbrenner for, I mean, they could have brought back Masahiro Tanaka. I mean, really, on a one-year deal, why not? I was surprised that no one else offered him a deal. He's going back to Japan, which we're all very upset about. Yankee fans are kind of in mourning today because we all love Tanaka. We all wish that things went better for him. We'll all appreciate everything that he did, especially 2017 when they had no business beating the Cleveland Indians in the division series. His game three performance will go down in Yankees history as one of my favorite, at least in the playoffs. But again, I don't know. It's just funny, the perspectives of the teams and how Yankee fans, I mean, we should be happy because Hal spends money, but we're not happy because he doesn't spend enough.
Yeah. And then, I mean, we have like the lowest payroll in baseball. I think there's been like a running joke right now that the Pirates and Indians are just fighting to have the lowest payroll in baseball right now, which is kind of hilarious. But it's very funny that like the Bob Nutting stuff, I don't talk about it a lot because I usually just can't be positive about it. But a year ago, there was a report that Nutting was probably never going to sell the team, and he was going to pass it on to his three daughters. And a big kind of thing that was going on is with Pirate fans is when we win, we're like a great fan base. And I think this is with almost any fan base, is when you win, the fan base is there. When you lose, they don't care.
Right.
But if you're not even there while they're losing, you can't expect Nutting to really care as much if you don't care as much. Mm-hmm. And I agree with that in a sense, but then you hear that in an interview with a Pittsburgh outlet, I can't remember which one it was, that Mark Cuban said if the opportunity ever presented itself, he would buy the Pittsburgh Pirates because he has ties to Pittsburgh. Imagine Mark Cuban in baseball. Like, Mark Cuban would just be like, here's like $200 million, go put a winning product on the field.
Right.
And it's crazy that I will also say this. How is, and I'm going to ask you this question, how is baseball the only major sport in America, counting hockey, basketball, and football, that doesn't have a salary cap?
I think the luxury tax, at least for the higher echelon of teams like the Yankees, who are always trying to get under it, I think that kind of acts like one. I think that there should be a salary floor. I think that they shouldn't allow teams to go under a certain number, and they shouldn't be so cheap. I think that's a bigger problem.
I mean, yeah, because, I mean, look at the Pirates right now. Like, I'm going to be honest with you here, and I like asking these questions to kind of, like, bigger market teams and, like, to your viewers as well. Who is the Pirates' best player right now?
I don't even know.
It's a battle between like three people. I'd say okay. It's Colin Moran, Brian Reynolds, and Key Brian Hayes. If I'm going to be honest with you right now, the only one of those three that might start for the New York Yankees is Key Brian Hayes, but you guys already have a third baseman. So he probably wouldn't. If you took our team in entirety and could tell me who would start on another team, I guarantee you the only person that would probably get mentioned is Key Brian Hayes or like Brian Reynolds or Moran. Now, not counting pitching, because Richard Rodriguez is another guy that I'm going to assume gets traded soon because he's really good out of the bullpen. But it's a crazy dynamic, like you said, that some of these teams will literally have a payroll of like $30 million. Meanwhile, Mike Trout is making more than that himself in Los Angeles.
Right. Right.
Or Garrett Cole even is making that much money, like – over a couple years. Like, I think Garrett Cole probably makes about as much as the entire Pirates payroll right now. And if you could correctly guess how much money we have tied into people after 2021, I will give you $5. I will Venmo you $5.
Oh, boy. I have absolutely no idea.
It's a very small number. I will give you – it's a singular digit, but it's in the millions still, but it's a singular digit.
$4 million. Wow.
And you know what that $4 million is like tied into? A Gregory Polanco buyout on his extension.
Wow.
So like, that's what I mean is Pirate fans are like, who are these guys? I said, realistically, don't get used to them, because this team's going to look very different. And the Taillon trade, I think the Taillon trade actually of the three probably hurt the most, just because of the most stuff that he did in the Pittsburgh community and everything. Like, the dude was like an amazing guy. Like, even when he was at rehab for his second Tommy John surgery, he was just like always out in the community doing stuff, obviously before COVID and everything, but he was doing stuff all the time with people. And even his thank you letter to Pittsburgh was just like, wow, like this dude cared about this place. And you look at, like, the people who have been traded, like Andrew McCutchen especially, named his son Steele after the city. Like, I mean, it's like the city has, like, a grip on the players, but the ownership and the team itself just doesn't perform to, like, that grip on what the city wants.
Right.
And, I mean, we haven't won a World Series since 1979 and haven't played in a championship series since 1992. For a guy like me who was born in 1998, I've never really seen this team compete for anything. The one year that was an outlier was 2013. It's crazy.
And then on the flip side, Yankee fans are complaining that the 2010s were the first time in 100 years that the Yankees didn't make a World Series.
Yeah.
The first decade that they didn't make at least one World Series.
Well, and it's funny, too, because, I mean, arguably the best moment in Pirates history happened against the Yankees in 1960.
Right.
Bill Mazeroski's walk-off home run in the World Series. I mean,
that's
that was
right.
Probably, like, the last time. Like, obviously, the family was fun. The 90s were fun, too, when you had Jim Leland as the manager and Barry Bonds and who's the dude that, from the Mets that still gets paid by them?
Oh, Bobby Bonilla?
Yeah, he was also a Pirate at one point. I mean, we've had so many good players over our history, but for some reason, it's just like this, like, it's like a curse that looms over that franchise of like, oh, here's a team, but guess what? You're not winning anything. Like, I don't know. It's very interesting. I feel like I'm ranting a little bit about it, but I'm not going to be – sorry, got people calling me apparently – I'm not going to be rooting for this team until like 2023 in terms of winning.
So I hope you enjoyed this episode of Locked On Yankees, which was a crossover with Locked On Pirates. It's always fun to talk with the hosts of other Locked On shows, especially from teams that we don't usually deal with, or, you know, we don't really know that much about the Pirates other than them trading all their players to everyone else, because, you know, Yankee fans can be a little insular and we care more about what's happening with the Yankees than anything else in baseball. But if you have other teams that you would like for me to do crossovers with, please let me know. I do know that if the Yankees announce signing Brett Gardner at some point soon, I will have a guest on the show that hosts another Locked On show, because he loves Brett Gardner. he actually volunteered and said, Stace, I will come on the show and I will gush about Brett Gardner. So if that signing happens anytime soon, we will do another crossover. But for now, that's it for this episode of Locked On Yankees, which is part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'd like to remind you that you can subscribe to this show in Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Himalaya, Spotify, Stitcher, or anywhere else you get your podcasts. And when you get into your car, you can tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On today. One more thing, if you could be so kind, please rate the podcast and spread the word about this podcast to your fellow Yankee fans. We would really appreciate it. Enjoy your Thursday, enjoy the weekend, and unless something breaking happens, I will talk to you all next week.